So they look after you pretty good for those. And they watch your weight. One time, there's a lot of times you have to, when you, a lot of times we usually don't go into just large ports like, now we did go into Brisbane, we went to Brisbane, Australia, we went to Perth, Australia, we went to Darwin, Australia. That's ports that we worked out of.
Mm-hmm.
We worked out of Sydney, Australia. We worked out of New Zealand. And we worked out of, of course, Pearl Harbor. I guess that's the ports we usually worked out of. And most of we stayed in Australia and New Zealand, back down in that area. This is South Pacific. So we was coming back with Japanese, you know, and after their ship. And so usually if you don't get to go to the big, of course, everybody will go to bigger cities for liberty. Because they had more bars, you know how sailors are. Had more bars, had more girls, and, you know, you just have more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of times we'd have to take an island. They had islands out there where you could go in, they'd come in there and put the sub in there.
Mm-hmm.
We always hated that because all you could do was play basketball. No women on the island. All they did was you had beer and they showed you movies at night. And the matrician there showed an old 16mm movie. And you played softball. Badminton or whatever you want to. They had tents to sleep in. And so that wasn't too good. But when you drew one of them, that was 90 days out of town on that island. They grant you a lot of milk. Now they fed you steaks and milk and the good food that you want to eat. They had it for you. So, now your questions. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
I get to rattling, so.
That's good. That's what I want. Well, what did you, like, when you
got
in the sub, what was going through your head? Did you think a lot, or?
When the sub?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you had plenty of time for that. And especially, you know, when you wouldn't make a grunt, if you wasn't torpedoing ships or nothing like that, you weren't in the battle. It was, you know, during the day it was real hot. We went around just shorts on.
Mm-hmm.
And sweat on the deck would get about that deep to get slimy on there. Mm-hmm. Because everybody sweat.
Right.
And when you surface, of course, they'd run the air back through there, and it smelled just like, you had never smelled this odor in your life. It smelled just like old dead people down in there. The real worst smell you ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, when the air got in there and cleaned it out and went back out, it was all right then. But we had bunks. We slept in these bunks, and these bunks folded up. They slept right over top of torpedoes. We had torpedoes back down the east side of it. Where the bunks would let down and sleep there. And then when you got into attack on somebody, you'd raise the bunk up so they could load up the torpedoes and fire them. See? And that's the way we thought.
Did you see a lot of battle? I mean, did you?
Yeah. We made Ripley, believe it or not, twice.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. We sunk one German sub. One sub that we hadn't, at that time, a sub had never sunk another sub. But we called German sub on the top of the surface. They had just went in and for repairs, and they came back out. Every time you ever go in repairs or ever go into any of your ship docks or anything like that, when you come back out, you have to trim your ship.
Mm-hmm.
You have to trim your boat, they talk about. So when they flood ballast tanks, that ship is just safe, and it'll sit just right on top of the water. So it's, you know, but it's just a little bit of water let into the ballast. That's how it's. Submarine submerges is that they take in water and that lets them go down.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get it trimmed so just a little bit of water will make them sink. And so that's what this German sub was doing. He was surfacing, coming up and checking his ballast.
Mm-hmm.
See if he had a trim on it. Then he'd go back down, see how what they time you, see what it takes to go down. And you go down saying 5 minutes or something. I'm just saying that. I don't know what that time was,
right.
But say 5 minutes. And if it wasn't 5 minutes, they'd take some more bites and get up on top and sound the alarm off again and dive again. They did just like we did. That's how we trim our skin. And we had just got into Perth, Australia. And we'd been out for 90 days. We didn't have much supplies. And so we was getting ready. Usually when you're coming in, they let people get up on deck and just, they bring your oranges out there and bring your mail out there. And milk. That you sit up there and drink milk. But we're white as that paper. You know, we've got no color to us at all, so we haven't been in the sun or nothing for 90 days and just the lights overhead. And so we're doing that and we got ready to go down and get our gear to leave. And they Skipper came out and said, no, we got to go back out. Motor said, we're going back out. So they put on fuel right quick. And we took off and went into the Borneo Straits. They sent, sent one around one end and sent us in and kept one sub out. They sent three subs over there. And they knew the German sub, by their information, they knew the German sub was in that strait. And so we went in to get it right there. Of course, they didn't know we was coming. We knew they was in there. And so we went in there, we was submerged, and we was watching, and we saw them surface. And then that's when we fired a dish and sunk it. Everybody got to go up there. All you can see is white hats of them German white hats floating up on top of the water. So evidently, they carried about the same amount of people, about 60 of them were down. So that made Ripley be the first time. Second time was on the run, was off of Japan out there. And what they do, each sub, when they go in, what they do is they'll take an island, like Japan or the Philippines or any island, if they're going to attack or they're going to keep ships from coming in. And they put up about 100 miles square. 100 miles this way, 100 miles that way, 100 miles that way, 100 miles. And put a sub in. Do the same thing all the way around that island, all the way around. That's what they'll do. They'll put squares and put a sub in. Okay, we was in this one right here, in this square. And the hole was over here. Another sub was over here. So they picked up a ship coming through. And so they got on her trail and started coming through. So they came across Icona, and we picked up the same ship. And we went towards the ship, and they were chasing it. And went across Icona, and we rammed the hole. Or she rammed us. She hit our phone with gun and threw off the deck up there. And we started taking on water. We didn't know what it was. We couldn't figure out what it was. We didn't figure she'd be right there in that corner. And we didn't hurt nothing, but we had to, both of us had to go and knock the hole up and knock us down. And we had a big hole in the deck up there. And we had to secure the forward torpedo. We didn't lose no men, but we had to secure the forward torpedo. And then we had to carry that bike out all the way back in until we got back into the forward. But we had to turn around and come with that. But that was a tough time. Millions and millions to one that two subs would run together in that big ocean out there. So that was the second time. What? And that was it. That was the two times we made it out there. We made a lot of plane sweeps. We brought back in, had a broom climb two or three times. We destroyed the strongers. I don't think we ever hit in battleships or nothing like nothing main, but we got a lot of destroyers and a lot of transport ships and what have you. So,
what did you think, after the war? Did you still have hard feelings toward Japan and
yes,
Germany?
Yes, I did. Very much so.
How long did that last? Or does it still?
Well, I ain't too happy with them yet, really. Because I lost a very good friend coming through the canal zone. War was already over. We were coming back to go up to New York for Navy Day. I believe it was Navy Day. And he went topside. So we was coming through the canal, we was on the surface, he went up there. He ran top, went around the sub, you got about 3/8 cable all the way around it right here. But I guess, being in the water a lot of times, that had rusted out or something, he leaned up against that fellow with those backers. And I was on the controls, and I heard him hit the screws back there. But you can feel them down there. You can feel, you can even hear torpedoes coming at you through the water. You hear go, when you're underwater. You can hear the sound of porpoises on the outside. You can hear real good the stuff, what's going on outside. And we could hear, I heard it hit that. And so they We just lost it. And he was the one that bought a ring just like I did in California. Chulaski was known from Pontiac, Michigan. And he bought his girlfriend a ring and sent her just like I sent your grandma. Identical. And when we got back, we said they didn't get married together. But evidently, you know, two marriages together. But didn't come about. Not the ceremony. But anyway, yeah, I'm a little, not right now. I can look through it now at my age, but it took me a long time to get over it. Forgiving is pretty hard.
Right.
About that.
But what did you think about the Japanese Americans that were in America and were sent off to those camps?
Well,
did you agree with
you? I don't know about being sent to a camp because really. See, I'm Scotch, Irish, and French, you know. And if they're Japanese, but if they're American, you know, I would think America is America.
Right.
But this is what America's made of, if just foreign people.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if we get to fight in Mexico, how about all these Mexicans in here again? What's they going to do?
Right.
They had Mexicans in their army and navy and stuff like that. They'll be fighting with us again, cause, you know. And same with Japan. We have people within their fight.
You didn't really agree with it?
I don't agree with them putting them in camps like they did. I sure don't. Now, if folks was going to, you know, if they found out something, they was aiding and abetting the enemy, then I think they should do something with it.
Right.
But I don't think, or well, some of them could have.
Okay. Roosevelt was president during the war, right?
Right, right at the end of the war. Well, Truman was the one that sent, you know, was Roosevelt was getting us out of the, and I think Roosevelt died during the war.
Really?
Yeah, he died during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And then Truman came in. And Truman was that told us to drop the atomic bomb.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think they should have dropped it quicker. Really, they should have.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would have lost as many Americans.
Right.
When they're delayed, the more they delay, there's more Americans getting killed every day.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I know it's a bad thing, it's a bad to be using that, but it saved a lot of lives.
Yeah.
American lives, anyway.
Right.
You know.
That's what I after the war, did you get to go back to your same job, or did you have to find another one?
I had to find another one. But jobs was pretty plentiful when we came back. You know, they was just getting, they had been working pretty good during the war. Everybody had jobs during the war. The ones that wasn't over fighting the home here, kept the ones over there doing the job here, you know, making all the armory and stuff that was needed over there, overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So when they came back, they were still doing powerhouses because it was low on electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing, they was making homes, a lot of houses going to be built because the soldier was coming home, you know, and they didn't have a place to live. They had gone 4 or 5 years, and they were ready to get married. And,
right.
And so, you know, they went in, say, when 18, here they come back out 22, and they're ready to get married and settle down. And so they had to have houses.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of big run-on house building. Everybody was building houses, and so that was on the market. But we wired a lot of houses when I came back.
And you were still with the union?
Through the union, yeah. And everything was just about union at that time. Very little non-union. Everything was union. They had one. And all the contractors that came in, they were union.
And you were still in Alabama? After the war, you went back to Alabama?
Did I come back to Alabama? Mm-hmm. Yes, I came back to Alabama.
And that's when you married your mother?
About 8 to 10 months later, I married your grandmother.
Well, after y'all.
We moved in, no home. So we moved in with my mother and daddy.
What was that like?
Wasn't good, but my older sister was in there with her baby and stuff. But there wasn't no houses.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't find no houses. That's what I'm saying. The shortage of, very much shortage of houses. And that's right after the war. But as soon as we could get out, we got out there. So as soon as we could find a place out there. Buying a car and stuff was hard to get. It was, didn't forget the money, but it wasn't a car on the market. So, it was some years before everything got back to normal.